Americans must never forget that we are a historic and heroic people with a heroic spirit and a heroic purpose on this beautiful earth of ours. We are made of the courage and the fire and the flesh and the blood of the best and the bravest people this world has ever produced. We are the bravest and the best. Tonight we pledge allegiance to the flag they gave us, and we say, God bless the immortal patriots of 1776, and long live the cause of independence.
All right, that was President Donald J. Trump, the end of his speech, close to it. On 4th of July, 2026, the 250th birthday. Isn't that something? And that was very late at night. Bruce and I were there. It was an absolutely wonderful celebration. We have a lot to tell you. People were so filled with joy. Just the renewal. People stayed out there. I think it was over at 1:30. 1:30, and people were still, you know, happy and just, I've never seen D.C. happy. I'll go down to say that. Even in the neighborhoods, and we were trying to get out in the streets to drive, we saw people in the neighborhoods of Washington, D.C. carrying their chairs, happy, happy. And they had stayed up so late to enjoy what the president and the display of the flags and all of the things that we got to enjoy. We're going to tell you all about it today. Bruce is with me. We got home very late last night as we're recording. And so we couldn't wait to tell you really what happened, and we're going to do that today. But first, we just celebrated the 250th anniversary of this country. We're not done yet, but the actual day was July the 4th. And we talked so much about freedom, and people in Washington, D.C., which is where Bruce had and I had the privilege of being, were so filled with joy. There was so much discussion, so much celebration of America's freedom. That was the theme. And how could it not be? And as a matter of fact, I just saw a really unfortunate video in Great Britain where the police, which is their pattern, it's actually in their bylaws now, have to treat white men differently than different colors of people. And I saw them mistreat a white kid who just got beaten by a black kid and throw him against the wall and just berate him. And that's not freedom. Great Britain has lost its freedom, but America, thank God, still has theirs. And along with that freedom is this whole thing about the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Of course, I could do a lecture on that, but I better go back to babies. But life, the right to life, and every baby born and unborn in this country has a right to life. This is not China where they kill their children. This is not India where they drown them. This is the United States of America where we believe our children are beautiful, precious, because we believe in God, and that's what he has said to us. That those babies, those newborns, are a gift from him. Children are a crown and a glory. And so every child is special, and every child born in this country has the right to life. And so with that, preborn is like jumping in to help moms who are confused about this, and not only help them find a better way by showing them an ultrasound and helping change their minds about what they do with their baby and their choice, but also providing other things for them, spiritual care, the knowledge of forgiveness, the husbands and the fathers, I should say, and the moms. It's pretty amazing stuff. And so I've been talking to you about Preborn for a long time, and they are our sponsor. And for that, we are very grateful. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy if you would like to help them. And I think you would. It's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. All right, well, if you weren't there, and even if you were there, or if you watched it on television, I bet we have some things to tell you that you don't know about. So it'll be on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Wow. 35 enlisted personnel comprise the Blue Angels. Pilots 1 through 4 fly in the Diamond Formation, showcasing the precision flying required of all Navy and Marine Corps pilots. From the right, representing your United States Navy and Marine Corps, the 2026 Blue Angels.
VMFA 251 from Marine Corps Air Station Cherry Point, North Carolina. What an amazing sight here over the mall in our nation's capital.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. I just wanted to give you a taste of what it was like to be in Washington, D.C. last week because they did flyovers, I don't know how often, but often. And they flew in airspace they usually can't fly in. And Bruce, I think I can say, my husband Bruce is with me. Hi, sweetheart.
Good morning.
I think that I can say without making a mistake here that one of your favorite things in the whole world are watching these airplanes fly over.
Oh, my gosh. It was unbelievable because it was a constant happening throughout the week that we were there, or the few days that we were there, and you never knew quite when they were going to come over because they were rehearsing as well as performing. So, you know, even though there wasn't an actual show going on, they were still practicing, which was just as good as watching the show.
I remember when we used to go see them in Chicago, the Blue Angels anyway, they would fly in the middle of those skyscrapers. Chicago has more skyscrapers than D.C., of course. Does D.C. have any? Anyway, and they would just dive between them, go between the buildings, and it was thrilling. And I think that's what they went around the Washington Monument and in and out. They really flew low, I think, low over the people, and it was wonderful.
Well, what was really neat, too, is, yes, they were flying low and loud. And, you know, they kind of lull you. There's usually six planes, and four will fly in a diamond formation, and they kind of lull you to sleep. They go slowly over the event, and then one of the single pilots will come, usually at a pretty good pace, across after the four go by, and it's kind of like, wow, that was cool. But there's always the sixth one is lurking somewhere, and just when you don't expect it, they'll come right at treetop level over you. And if you remember the movie Top Gun, it's when Maverick would buzz the aircraft carrier and inevitably the captain would spill his coffee on the front of his shirt and get so mad at him for doing it. Well, I can tell you, when they buzz over you like that, you don't know what to do.
Well, the thing I thought, Bruce, is they did that the 4th of July. You and I ended up being not outside, and we'll explain that in a minute. We were outside, but not out where everyone was. We were in a beautiful apartment who had a huge, long balcony, and we were able to see the fireworks, the Potomac River, and everything was right there. So we saw all of it, but we were not out there with all the millions of people that were there, hundreds of thousands. And so it was just remarkable. It made me think, honey, look, how would you feel if they were not on our side? And you heard that, you saw that kind of firepower.
Yeah, that was one of the things that came to mind real early is how would you like to be on the receiving end of what they can bring? Because just the mere presence of them and the sound of them is enough. But if they dropped ordnance on you, I just can't even imagine.
Well, unless you've been in a hole, you know there have been lots of events this week. The president was out in South Dakota doing, you know, on July the 3rd, giving a speech. And Bruce and I thought how wonderful it was when we went to July the 3rd or 4th in South Dakota right before the president was elected the first time. We had the privilege of being there, and it was absolutely beautiful. But he went out there again this year. Remember, they criticized him for being there. They didn't want him there, and the Indians made a big stink about all the damage that was done. And so this was a big deal for him to go back out. But of course, we need to say, do I need to say to you, this was not about President Trump. It's about our country. It's our 250th anniversary. And we have so much to be grateful for, so much. Can't we take a moment to be grateful without getting the taint of Donald Trump was there, so somehow we can't enjoy, somehow I can't go because, you know, this is Trump's thing. It was not Trump's thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people on the left really cut off their nose to spite their face because this is our country's celebration. This is our country's birthday. It's not Donald Trump's birthday. Now, I think Donald Trump did an amazing job organizing so many of these events and really trying to infuse enthusiasm into this. But I'll tell you, I saw a lot of people on the left that were just bound to determine that I am not going to enjoy this and I am not going to engage in this 250 because this is all about President Trump. You know, that just shows you that Trump derangement syndrome, they even let it ruin our country's 250th birthday. I feel sorry for them. You know, they're really missing out and they don't understand how great our country is. And if they want to know, ask the people who came here to watch the World Cup and listen to them talk about
exactly.
America.
Hey, Bruce.
We should introduce them into the country.
Exactly. I want to correct you. I don't think they ruined it. You don't mean that. They're naysaying.
They ruined it for themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Not for us.
No. There was such joy there. That's not the thing. I don't think. I just want people to know how filled with joy. And the thing of it is, Bruce and I went down. We should talk about the Great American State Fair, Bruce, because we went to enjoy it, but also I was going to be doing my podcast at the Great American State Fair. So. Shall I tell that part of the story yet? It's kind of dreadful.
Well, you might want to set it up with really Mother Nature impacted the Great American State Fair. It was 104 degrees, no wind, and bright sun, and a lot of humidity. Other than that, tropical.
Let's come back because yes, that's true, and yes, we experienced that. But let's talk about what was there. They had these, they weren't really tents, they were pavilions, and they were all air-conditioned. So people didn't have to, they had to get out to go move from place to place, but at least they thought that part through, and I thought that was great. But we found Florida had the longest line ever. The Florida Pavilion, people were just draped all up, you know, up and down the mall, yeah, waiting to get into Florida. I never did quite figure that out because I didn't have time to wait in that long line.
Yeah, we never even got inside. We talked to some people who went in and heard about some of the things that were inside the exhibit.
But they said you could smell oranges.
Go up and smell an orange.
They were not large exhibits. They were small, but they just gave you a taste of each of the states. Mississippi had a whole bunch of stuff on Elvis and all the Grammys the state people had taken away who lived in the state, and that was fun.
Yeah.
I think they had as much as anybody, really.
They really did. They had a very nice exhibit, and you got to talk to Tim Wildman on his show about
what was in
Mississippi, and it was a real nice stop for us.
Yeah, and Bruce, you saw a rodeo, right?
I did. Now, this is, I thought this was the, other than the planes and the fireworks, this was the next coolest thing is, right on the mall, right in front of the Capitol building, they had a rodeo field. It was set up with stands. Now, it wasn't a full-size rodeo stadium, don't get me wrong, but it was probably, 50, 70 yards long, and they had an hour-long rodeo, trick ropers, riders. It was absolutely a blast, and people loved it. And what was really ironic is here you are watching these animals run up and down on the mall, and right behind them you see the Capitol of the United States. It is surreal almost. Really,
it sounds like the old days, you know. People, there used to be sheep grazing on the White House lawn, and animals and people, it was just it was a different time, but this was like that. I mean, this is really, the mall is always a place where people jog, honey, or they go sit out for lunch, but they made it, President Trump really oversaw that and made it like a home, like it was our home.
Yeah, what they did with these exhibits is they were basically canvas infrastructure, but on the outside they had taken, like, I'm not sure if it was fiberglass or plexiglass or what, but they had made the front of the buildings look like stone, like the buildings in Washington, D.C.
With columns.
With columns, mm-hmm. and things, and they had gold eagles sitting at the corners. I mean, they looked beautiful. If you looked at them from a distance, you thought they were an actual building.
Yeah. And they had a lot of stages and a lot of talent, but that's where the heat comes in again. And that's the downside, because we ended up out in the heat longer than we should have been trying to get to the Truth Social booth, which is where I was going to do my show, and we got some setbacks, I'll just say that. And Bruce was pulling the equipment, carrying my banner, and I'm trying to walk in 103 heat with a dress and a hat and boots. We had arranged that we'd be very close and it wouldn't be so much out in the heat. And we had a problem, and that meant we had to walk just to get in. And so we did that, and we're both just soaked. My hair is soaked. My dress is soaked. And we're trying to set up the area so we can, bring a podcast to you. So Bruce is setting up the banner, and suddenly some big voice says, "The park is closing immediately. I must get out. The park is closing." And so we had to put everything back in the boxes and carry it out back into the 103 and walk back home. We finally gave up. Yeah. So that didn't work so well for us.
Yeah. The Board of Health, I guess, decided that it was too excessive a heat. But, it's so silly. I really think this was the D.C. city government trying to stick it to President Trump by closing the fair, because they closed it on us twice, actually. And, everyone knew. You knew probably 2 weeks before that the temperatures were predicted to be in the 100s, and people were ready for it for the most part. They had water bottles, they had fans, they were dressed appropriately. And I guess some people did need some medical attention, but to me, I really think this was their shot at President Trump.
Yeah, well, maybe so, but they did not overcome. They just didn't overcome, because people kept coming back. And just having people were so joyful. That's what encouraged me, Bruce. And even like in our hotel, we didn't say this, but when we got there, we had National Guard staying in our hotel.
Yeah.
And they were a happy lot.
Oh, it was great being with them. If you want some encouragement about young people, probably 18 to 25 probably was the main range of the soldiers. And they were from all over the country. They were absolutely delightful. They're there for several weeks. They're away from their families. When they do their duty, they are geared up. I mean, they have their ballistic vests on, their hat, their ammo, their weapon. I mean, they're fully clothed, obviously, in a uniform with a hat. It's hot. And those kids, because there were a lot of men and women in the guard there, they just really showed. And I can tell you from the difference in how you felt about the city between when Sandy and I used to live there 10 years ago and now, it's so much cleaner. And with those people there, the guard, it's so much safer. You can walk anywhere, it seems.
And they seem, I think they seem very cheerful in their work. Nobody was glum.
No.
It was fun.
No.
And if I had been able to do a podcast, I would have interviewed some of them. But next time I go to the 4th of July in D.C., I'll get those podcasts. I also met a French journalist who interviewed Bruce and I. He was from Paris, and we had a nice interaction with him. He's asking us about our country and what we think of it, and it was very lovely. And actually, I'd hoped to interview him, and maybe I will at some point. But there were some very rich moments like that. Bruce, I think, speaking about unusual moments and people we met, on the way down, we met a very interesting lady in our hotel.
Yeah. So We drove up to Richmond, Virginia on the way up. That's as far as we made it, and we were checking in a hotel. And I was talking to the lady at the front desk, and she kind of hit a high note just out of nowhere. And I said, "Oh, are you a singer?" And she goes, "Oh, I was." And she said, "I used to sing with Up With People." the group, she goes, oh, I was a soloist. I was out front, you know, and she was absolutely delightful. So I ran to the car. I'm like, Sandy, you have to meet this woman. She's a fellow singer. And so
she was beautiful, though. She was a black woman with really blue eyes.
Yeah, stunning.
Yeah, it's very stunning. Really stunning. I mean, very interesting. Yeah, and very engaging. We had a great time, but just met the most interesting people. In fact, we met a woman who is a former Miss Texas, and her husband was a POW in Vietnam and was shot. He was a pilot.
Yes.
He was shot down.
He was shot down. Yeah. He was held by the Vietnamese, the North Vietnamese, for 7 years and 9 days. They emphasized, you know, you count every day. And she is currently working on bringing awareness, because I think a lot of us have forgotten the people that were prisoners of war in, of North Vietnam, because that was really a sad chapter in our history. And those guys really persevered.
Yes, they did. I think of Jeremiah Denton. He was one of the leaders. He was a Texan. He's written a great book about what happened there. And I think about the Hanoi Six. By the way, John McCain is not in that list of heroes. I'd make that real clear. Tell you sometime about it if you want to hear it. But there were heroes in those prisons because they were treated so badly. I wish more had been said, really, this weekend about that. But I'm with you, Bruce. People just don't want to think about that. But we're not going to forget them. And so we'll probably do an interview with her, and we'll give you more detail on the Vietnam prisoners of war.
Yeah. I remember when they came home, how meaningful that was. They came off the plane. You know, a lot of these guys had been gone, you know, 5 to 7 years, and people even wondered if they were still alive. And I just remember them coming out in their uniforms, and, boy, all of them bowed up and saluted, and some even got down on the ground and kissed it because they realized how grateful they were to be back in America.
Yeah, it is an amazing story. And again, Jeremiah Denton, I recommend that book just because it's the one that comes. He's the author, but you'll see his name. There are not many of him. Jeremiah Denton. Doesn't he have a great name?
Yeah.
Doesn't he sound like a hero? And he was. You say names matter, don't you? You said that to me before, that names make a difference in how we behave. All right, so we had some unexpected fun that we did. We found out that Friday night there was a special at the Kennedy Center, and I don't mean the Blue Plate special. I mean it was a musical. It was called the Freedom Gathering.
I thought it was called the Trump Center now.
Yeah. Well, that kind of covered that up, and it's still run down and smelly.
The judiciary made sure that didn't last long.
Yeah. That's horrible. Well, all right, but besides that, we went and we got tickets. The Freedom Gathering, musical celebration of God and country. And so Jack Graham, the pastor from, where is he from? What church is that? It's in Texas. But you Texans, don't get mad at me. I just can't right offhand think of his church. But he was great. After all the music, he's the one that wrapped it up. But I'm going backwards. Some of the singers I did not know, and there was no program. So I'm kind of at a loss to tell you who, but Charles Billingsley, I know. And Charles was one of the singers, performers, and he's just really, really good and personable, and he loves the Lord. And you could tell that. And the choir, I don't know where the choir was from. I think they might have been from Texas.
They were, but they never got introduced formally.
Yeah.
But I know when they mentioned Texas, they all cheered and went, woo!
Well, the loft was filled, and then where you think about pipes on an organ along the side, there were some. Down front, the Kennedy Center, if you've been there, up above the stage on the right are big gaps, and the choir was up there, too, singing in that area. So it was huge, and they were good. Oh, they were good. And all the instrumentalists were great, and the singers were great, too. It was
they had two male quartets that sang in addition to Charles Billingsley, and they were both just dynamite.
Yeah, and fun.
I'm so jealous of the guy who's got the really deep voice.
Oh, I do that. I do.
When I go to heaven, that's what I want to be, is the guy that sings that really low note.
Because
I can't get there.
Will I recognize you?
I don't know.
I hope so.
You'll hear me booming over in the corner.
No, but that was fun. And you know what? It was worshipful. I mean, it was actually, I just believe that was a gift from God for us, because we'd had kind of a rough time outside and trying to make things work. And when we went in there, it's just worshiping and praising God was a great gift in that wonderful, wonderful center with such history. So so that was a gift. And then we had another sidebar, and this is your fault that we did this. You found out about a movie playing.
Oh, yeah. A movie from Angel called Young Washington was premiering that that week, and I cannot tell you how much we enjoyed that. It just as the title says, it follows George Washington in his early life, from being a young child to really leading up to the Revolution. And it's a story you need to hear, because George Washington had he really did have an amazing life. But we're fortunate that he ever made it out of his service with the British Army, because before the Revolution, he was fought for a long time with the Virginia Militia, which was a part of the British Army. And it shows his battles with the French, because the French were trying to come into the Virginia Territory, and the English claimed that was their property. And it naturally, being age-old enemies, there was trouble. And it details Washington's attempts to deal with that situation out in the Virginia Territory.
It is an excellent, excellent movie. In fact, I think we're going to go again. We're going to go again. Because I just can't tell you how wonderful it was. I've seen a lot of movies about Washington. I've read a lot. Since I was a kid, I've loved him and Lincoln. So I have never seen anyone portray Washington, though, in a way that was so compelling as this young man. And I think you all will just love it. So go see Young Washington. All right, so that was, we get into the weekend, and we had a 4th of July celebration we needed to attend. And so we ended up going to our friend's place, again, real high up in a high rise overlooking all that was going on down there on the 4th of July. And we would have been down there. Well, look, we drove to D.C. I have to say, I mean, we knew it was going to be brutally hot, and I'm not great in the heat, and we knew it was going to be hard, but we felt that at this time in our nation's history, we wanted to show that we were going to do whatever it took to go and celebrate. We want to celebrate. We want to be there and be counted. We want to support, you know, all of those, the troops, everyone looking from all over the world. We want them to know that Americans love their country, so that's the spirit in which we did this. And, I don't think we have any regrets about that, even though it was a little tough.
No, and I don't think we're going to make the 300th.
No, don't say that. Don't say that.
I don't think we're going to make it. So I think we needed to go to the 250th.
Well, so just a little background, and then I'm going to start with some clips, you know, from that evening in case you missed it. In this home, our friend is a former her husband has passed away, and he was a congressman. And so she's got a lot of interesting people in her life, and a lot of them were there that night. And but I just want to mention three people, because they're three very big boys, very big boys. And they happen to be identical triplets. I've met them before, actually, at some other meetings.
And I mean identical.
Yeah. And they've got, like, multiple degrees. These are brilliant, but they are so sweet. And they don't have a mom or a dad, so it's an unusual circumstance. And my friend they don't live with her, but she really liked her aunt there. She's like their auntie. And it's just great to see. And they have, like, I don't know if I said this already, they each have like multiple degrees, PhDs and all this kind of stuff. But you would never guess that. They're just very, very accomplished. And it's going to be interesting to see what God does with them. But they were just part of who was there to enjoy this with us. So we look over the balcony, and we see all these people making their way over there in spite of the heat. And President Trump has someone that you've heard him at other events. It's President Trump's favorite singer. He sang Ave Maria, and then he sang this beautiful opera. I think it's Puccini. I'm not sure, but I love it. But I'll spare you from that. But I won't spare you from this one, because this brought down the crowd. Let's listen. Clip 4.
Stand beside her and guide. mountains, to the prairies, to the oceans, going with fun. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Okay, one more time. Here we go. Let the president hear you.
And he did. We're on the balcony singing.
Here we go.
Beautiful. You know what? He's, that's Christopher Macchio. And he's known as America's tenor. And he's President Trump's favorite. You know, I find myself wondering, Bruce, you think he'll be ever invited back to the Kennedy Center to perform? Yeah, because they're blackballing anybody that's a Trump supporter.
You know, I'm so proud of the people that entertained in spite or despite all the threats they're receiving. You know,
yeah, it tells you what kind of courage he has.
A lot of people that I really was surprised bailed out on this event because the word got out that, oh, no, this is Trump's event, not America's event, which is a bunch of garbage. Yeah. It wasn't Trump's event. It was everyone's event.
All right. So the thing that we didn't say, Bruce, before we go further on the program, because I want to play a couple of things President Trump said, is that lightning started hitting before the fireworks and before President Trump spoke. He was scheduled to speak at 9:30. But everything was delayed, and they made everybody leave. And there were, I think, 350,000 people there, so they made them all leave. But President Trump would not give up. Someone said to him, well, we can do this next week. And he said, are you kidding? We can't do this next week. There's only one 4th of July. This is our 250th. I don't care how long it takes. We're going to do this. And so, actually, he didn't even come out to speak until 11 o'clock at night, and I think it finished at 1:30, because that was even before the fireworks. So, and you know what? Hundreds of thousands of people came out anyway, and people were all, again, like all over the city hanging out of balconies, and I've never seen D.C. like that. I've never seen D.C. like that. Yeah. And when all the time we've been there, even at Christmas time, it would just make me heartsick to see no decorations, no acknowledgement. So this is different, I recognize.
Yeah, this was amazing. You think about it. They opened the seating area, which means sitting on the grass. You couldn't bring chairs in. So people started getting there at 5 o'clock, sitting on the grass. They got rained on. Then they were evacuated out of the area because of lightning. And everything kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed. They're getting rained on. And then the park is reopened. These people, so many of them who had been there all day, now came back and had to go through security a second time because there was very tight security. The mall was walled off with some checkpoints. And then they come, and as you say, things really didn't get kicked off again until like 11 o'clock at night. And these are people with strollers, kids. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah. And they hung in there, and they were happy warriors.
Yeah,
that's the
and
part.
Everyone was so happy. They're soaked. It didn't matter. They're just happy as can be. And what was amazing is you'll hear an estimate of the number of people that were there, and it will be so low compared to the number of people that were watching, because we were watching over near the Iwo Jima statue, if you're familiar with Washington, D.C. Well, when we tried to leave there after it was over, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming out of other buildings, coming off. They had stood along the roads. Believe me, the number of people that were in the mall was not even close to how many people were actually watching the thing. And like you say, Sandy, this doesn't happen in Washington, D.C. People are usually so whatever about things. They were really amped up for this thing.
That's right. And happy. You never see people in D.C. happy.
Yeah. Yep.
So, okay, so it's 11 o'clock then. It's 11-ish. And we're all now on the balcony looking over, you know, the crowd, they're at a long distance. We can't see them, at least not their faces. And so this is the beginning of the introduction to President Trump. I love this. I love this. Clip 5. Can't you just hear the thrill and the excitement? We wouldn't edit. Listen. Okay. So then President Trump came out and he mentioned the lightning. He thanked them for being there and all the delays. And he said he wasn't going anywhere. There's nowhere he'd rather be. And the price that the Patriots paid to deliver our country, he just felt like he was going to make sure that this, he went through with what he needed to do and what we needed to do. So then I want to give you just the first part of his speech, at least for right now. This is President Donald Trump on July the 4th, 250th anniversary. Let's listen.
Tonight we come together for one of the most joyous and glorious milestones of all time, and you know what that is, 250. The 250th anniversary, and I do have to say this. One of my very brilliant people backstage said, "Don't worry about it, sir. We can do it maybe next week." I said, "It doesn't work next week. This is the big day. We want July 4th. We're not looking for July something else. Because this is the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Nothing like it. For 2.5 centuries, our American Republic has stood as the crowning achievement of human history. This country is the home of freedom. This is the land of liberty. And this is a flag that's the banner of the most extraordinary, most exceptional, most incredible nation ever to exist on the face of the earth. And we're doing better now than we've ever done before. No people have done more good, shown more courage, made more progress, righted more injustice, or achieved more greatness than you, the American people. For 250 years, the United States of America has been the hope, the promise, the light, and the glory among all of the nations of the world. All over the world, they try and be like us. Nobody can be like us, and with God's help, we will always be this or even better. We're going to be better. Here on our National Mall, we're celebrating freedom's triumph over tyranny, liberty's conquest over oppression, and the enduring victory of the American spirit from the July 4th, 1776 to July 4th, 2026. Big dates. That's big dates. Two big ones. And tonight our country is stronger, freer, richer, safer, and prouder than ever before.
All right, so that's just the first part of it. And then he goes, first, let's talk about this next part, because he begins to introduce war heroes from the various wars. And they all came out, even a man who was 107, they brought him out. And so talk about that for a second, because I know that's, you're a war buff, and you know, you can think of the words better than I can. Who do we see?
Well, they had veterans going back to World War II. They had a man there that was 107. They had a man there that was 104. One of them was a survivor of the attack on Pearl Harbor. He was there for the attack. The other one was landing in the early parts of D-Day. And what was kind of cool also is that they had a collection of American flags up on stage, and one of them was from Iwo Jima, and one of them, that was the flag raised on Iwo Jima, and the other one was from one of the landing crafts on D-Day.
You know, Bruce, can I say, before, the thing that struck me about those men, the ones on stage that night, I think two of them came in wheelchairs, maybe all three, but their faces, they looked youthful, they looked bright and alert and proud. They had a smile, not a big smile, but just a smile of pride and love for country. It was so inspiring.
Yeah, and I think you saw some swagger. A thing that so many people are trying to beat out of young men these days, and here are these guys in their hundreds, and they're showing swagger. I'm telling you, that's an important part of being a man.
Yeah.
And so in addition to the World War II men, they also had a survivor of the Chosin Reservoir, which was a Marine battle in the Korean War that was just horrific. The Marines had to evacuate after winning. They were caught up in a place, and they had to fight their way out, and they fought their way through this reservoir, this valley, and it was brutal. And you know, being the Marines, they did it. And so they had a gentleman there from that battle. And I was so glad that President Trump did not make this speech about him, but he made it about the country. And what better people to represent our country than these veterans?
They had a flag from Saratoga. Can you explain that? That was a Revolutionary War.
Yeah, things were not going well in the American Revolution after a few years. I mean, we came very close to losing that war. And there was a battle at Saratoga in New York, and it was a crushing defeat of the British. And it really kind of turned around the entire American Revolution. Saratoga, that victory convinced the French that America could win this revolution. And the French came in to the war on our side, which was desperately needed because they had a navy. We really didn't have a navy, very little. And they sent troops, and it really turned the revolution around. And that they had that flag there was unbelievable.
And these are the real flags. These are not replicas or, you know, somebody's idea. These were the actual flags from those battles. And one and two, also Bruce, now people will remember that we have a Star Spangled Banner. And you might, if you've studied history or loved it, or you're my age, or you remember a guy named Francis Scott Key, who watched the British, this is the War of 1812, we almost lost to them. And it wasn't that far from the Revolution, as you know. They'd burned Washington, burned the White House. It was a nightmare for the Americans. We were just, 20, 25, 30 years into our nation. And so Francis Scott Key goes out on this ship, and he stays up all night watching this battle. And this is the words to the song of, you know, Oh Say Can You See. Gets out early in the morning. He wants to see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail as the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars to the perilous night. I can't talk them. I can only sing them. To the perilous night are the ramparts we watched were so gallantly still streaming. And the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, can you see that star-spangled banner wave, or the land of the free and the home of the brave? Okay, I tell you all of that, remind you all of that, because they had a relative, an officer, his last name was Key, of Francis Scott Key, come out, and they had a flag from that battle displayed. So, I mean, this was the kind of stuff that President Trump did. Actually, instead of a long speech, this is what he did. I just thought it was wonderful. So that was a wonderful evening, and it ended with those fireworks, which were, 100 times bigger than the fireworks display?
45 minutes.
Yeah, yes.
45 minutes.
And it really was. It was wonderful. And, of course, we were... Everybody there with us in my friend's home loved this country, including the big triplets. And we were just all thrilled to see, you know, what was happening. So that's not all, though, because the next morning, we also had a special event. We went to Gary Hamrick's church. That is Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia. Many of you may listen to Gary. I love Gary. Bruce and I listen to him all the time. He's become one of my favorite pastors, preachers. If you want to look him up, it's Gary Hamrick, Hamrick. But it wasn't Gary preaching at his church. It was Eric Metaxas. Now, Eric has a brand new book, and it's called Revolution. And it's a historical exploration of the events leading up to the revolution and the revolution itself. And of course, Eric does such a great job writing and researching. He didn't, of course, talk about the book or read it, but he just gave us stories. One of the points that Eric made that I'd never heard made, he said the founding fathers viewed the revolution as related to God's covenant with Abraham. And he said, in fact, the early, when they were trying to pin an emblem that would represent the new country. Ben Franklin's rendition was had to do with the covenant with Abraham, the lamb and all of that. And the second was, I think, Thomas Jefferson entered his rendering, and both of them showed images that related back to the Abrahamic covenant, which was very interesting. I had never heard that. So we would just highly recommend. He did a great job. Eric was so interesting, but you have to read the book, I think, to get the idea. It's called Revolution. It's brand new. It's just out, so I recommend that. But that wasn't really all that happened that morning, and perhaps more importantly, at least for me, Tina Peters was in Washington, D.C. You might recall, if you listened to me, that Tina was that Colorado clerk who went to prison for capturing data before the voting machines were changed, the tallies by the Secretary of State. She has images, by the way, of the Secretary of State doing that. And so Tina is a strong believer in Christ. She's been on this show before she ever went to prison. She was on with me. And she and I became friends as much as we could through the years and have prayed together and talked. And I've tried to intercede for her in other places. And so, but here's the irony. I've never met Tina. I've never met her. I've never seen her. I feel like I have because I've seen pictures and because I've talked to her and I keep in touch. But we were trying to get together. And so she ended up driving out to McLean, which is about 45 minutes from Washington, to meet me, to hear Eric Metaxas and enjoy this service. So she got there, and I can't even explain to you how, what a wonderful reunion that was. I was so emotional. It really was. She's out of jail. She's out of prison. And there are so many things to say about that. She really was persecuted for her honesty and because she is a faithful believer in Christ and will never waver. So she sat through the service with us, and we just loved meeting her. Bruce, you want to just say about that before I...
Yeah, if you want to see someone who really was... had the government weaponized against her. We hear that term thrown around, but believe me, this was the real deal. The government charged her, and they made sure they charged her in a state case, not in a federal case, so that President Trump couldn't get involved and possibly either remove the case to federal court or pardon her if she was convicted. She was given 8 years imprisonment for basically taking a thumb drive that showed the actual vote totals from her county in Colorado before it was changed by the Secretary of State, like Sandy said. And, you know, 8 years imprisonment. And if you, there are tapes online of exchanges between Tina and this Judge Barrett who presided over the trial. And I can tell you, he relished sentencing her. He relished telling her what a terrible person she was. Look, I've spent my entire life in the criminal justice system. I've seen murderers sentenced to less time, much less time than 8 years imprisonment. And I've seen the judge treat them much less in just a disrespectful way. He called her he just disrespected her. He's already sending her to jail for 8 years. That wasn't enough. He had to really let her have it. And I'll tell you, Tina served, I think it was 700 days. So that's almost 2 years in jail, in prison for really something that even if she had been convicted of it, she probably should have gotten probation. She's 70 years old. She's never had a criminal conviction. She's never done anything wrong from a criminal standpoint. Her son was killed as a Navy SEAL defending this country. She's a Gold Star mom, and they gave her 8 years in prison. I just shake my head.
Well, Bruce, we're going to have Tina on soon, and we will revisit a lot of that. I want to also add that she was the elected county clerk. She had every right to save that information. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she wasn't breaking the law, but they made it as though she, if you hear the judge, you would think she is the most wicked person in the world. The charges against her was just horrible, but she bore it all. She bore it all. She was beaten in prison. And so we had that chance to be with her Sunday morning, and it was just a real gift, I have to tell you. So,
and I have to tell you, there was a bonus also that day. The Martins were there to perform at the service, and at the end they sang the national anthem. And I'll tell you, it was really touching.
It was the whole service. One of the songs they sang even before that was just as though it was for Tina. It was about being a prisoner and about God's sovereignty and all of this. It was just beautiful. So God was at work at
Cornerstone
Chapel in Leesburg on Sunday morning. We had a chance to be there. All right, honey, anything else? Have I left anything else?
Well, one of the most important things is as we drove home yesterday in one day, we stopped at Buc-ee's.
Oh, but you mean Buc-ee's?
Buc-ee's.
I saw Buc-ee's. I thought I would not like it. I'm French and I do not like America.
You know,
now I'm wearing Buc-ee's.
Buc-ee's has become worldwide famous now since the people came here for the soccer tournament. Everyone seems to want to go to Buc-ee's now.
Buc-ee's.
And Sandy mentioned in a previous show that we saw a tape of a Frenchman who went to Buc-ee's, and he's like, I was convinced I would not like it. I would not like America. And I go to this place, Buc-ee's.
Buc-ee's.
And everyone is wearing raccoons on their head instead of beavers. He says raccoons. And he says, at the end, I was wearing a raccoon on my head too.
Yeah, it was great. We should have that and just play it over and over again. Well, I have one more thing to play for you before we say goodbye, and it's President Trump's, another portion of his speech, because I want you to hear it, because actually it pertains to, in some ways, the fight that we have on our hands right now in this country. Let's listen.
But it all started with the miracle of history that lives forever in the heart of every single patriot. In Philadelphia, our founding fathers summoned the courage of giants and the wisdom of centuries to boldly proclaim these timeless truths. They declared that all men are created equal, that they are endowed with sacred, unalienable rights by the hand of our Creator, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In signing their names to the roster of freedom, those 56 patriots put everything at risk, stepped onto the stage of destiny, and seized a victory for the ages. And that's what it was. And this is an evening for the ages, I believe. This is something very special, more inconvenient, but it's bigger. I think in its own way, it's more beautiful. From the beginning, we were a nation that lived by the motto, victory or death, and live free or die. One out of every 100 Americans gave their lives in the fight for independence to remind us of who these heroes were and what they gave us. We are honored to have here tonight in the heart of our nation's capital one of the very first American flags ever to exist. Dating back to 1777, it bears the 13 stars and 13 stripes of the 13 states that declared independence on the 4th of July. There it is. This was the flag that flew victorious at Saratoga. And these are the real deals, too. These are the real flags. These are flags that have seen a lot. These were the stars and stripes that flew triumphant when the British waved the white flag of surrender at Yorktown. That was a big surrender. Nobody thought that was possible. They were the greatest power of the world, and they surrendered, and that was the beginning. Ever since, the entire world has been on notice that Americans will never let anyone take our freedom away. Won't happen. And all these talks from the communists, they haven't got a chance. Not even a chance. We don't want communists in our country. Never worked, and it never will work.
I was so glad he said that. It's like a warning, on notice. You're making a lot of noise. You're beating your chest as though you have the ability to take over this country, but we're not going to let you. And that's coming from our president, which should kind of trickle down courage into the rest of us. And I'm so grateful that he said it. Any last words, honey, from you?
Well, I just would say that for anyone who thinks maybe we're starting to decline as a nation, there are so many people that love this country, and there are so many people who are willing to fight for this country. And I admit, I get down sometimes. I think, where are we going? But like President Trump says, we're not going to let this place turn into a communist country. And all I can say is God bless America.
Amen. Thank you, honey. Well said. Well, that's all. That's all. We just wanted to share with you our experience, and I hope you enjoyed it. You know, Preborn is our sponsor, and if I could have done an interview, you would have heard Dan Steiner, the head of Preborn, from the National Mall, but that didn't work. He's such a great guy, leading Preborn so effectively. And if you would like to help Preborn provide ultrasounds for moms trying to decide if they should keep their baby or not, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation. Well, from Bruce's heart and mine, the both of us love this country, and I think if you didn't love it, you wouldn't be listening to us talk about it this way. So, fellow lovers of this country, we thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.